The following program is sponsored by Bell and Pollock PC. Welcome to Champions of the People, the Bell and Pollock Injury Show. Attorneys Gary Bell and Brad Pollock are ready to work for you. Reach Gary, Brad, and their team at championsofthepeople.com or by calling 303-795-5900. That's 303-795-5900.
Good morning. Welcome to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Brad Pollock and Dana Miller in studio today, talking to you about another personal injury topic. We'll get to it in just a second. We are the Bell and Pollock Law Firm. We are a personal injury law firm. We have been around since 1984. We have been working to protect your rights when you get hurt in a car crash or as a result of the negligence of another, to make sure you get maximum recovery. We've been doing this show for probably the last couple years. We have other shows that we do, the Bell and Pollock Legal Shows that we do, that we've been doing for 15 or 20 years. On Saturday morning at 7 o'clock, you can call in and ask us questions, and we'll answer them on any legal topic. We have other shows that you can listen to us on Sunday mornings that we talk to you about other legal topics. At Bell and Pollock, Gary and I got together probably in the late 80s, early 90s, and started talking about what was a good way to educate people and give them an idea of what they needed to know to be able to select an attorney and also to protect themselves when a crash happens. We've talked to you about what needs to be done before a crash happens. It's very important that you know what goes on before a crash happens. So we did legal packets on that. If you want to get a legal packet you can keep in your car, you can contact us at 303-795-5900 or bellpollock.com or championsofthepeople.com. We are, and you can get these packets that help you to know in advance what's going to happen in a crash. They're free. You don't have to pay for any of it. We have books that you can get. If you get on our websites, you'll be able to find books that are available. They're free. You don't have to pay for them. You just have to call up or write to us and ask for them. The packet we've got that's been in existence now since for last 10, 15 years at least, we've got plenty of them. We're happy to hand them out to you. And the reason you want those is because you want to look at them before the crash so you know what's going on. Dana, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Brad.
Good.
Yeah, I was just going to add on to that, you know, it's helpful to have that information before you have a collision, because in the moment of a collision, you know, a lot of things can happen. You can start to go into that fight or flight response. You can be preoccupied with how you're feeling at the moment. You may or may not lose consciousness. You may or may not be dazed and confused. And so it is helpful to familiarize yourself with, you know, kind of a routine protocol, a stop, drop, and roll, if you will.
Right. And it's nice because this packet is something that's in your glove box. You can pull out and you can look at and get ideas. There are some advertisements that talk to you about calls immediately from the scene of the crash. They want you to call. Hopefully, if you're in a crash, you're not calling your lawyer. If you're hurt, you're calling an ambulance. If the other person's hurt, you're calling an ambulance. You're calling the police. You're calling the people to make sure the accident and the crash is properly recorded. You're not thinking about, I better call up a lawyer and ask them what to do, and have the lawyer start listing all these things you need to do.
Although I have had that happen on occasion.
Right, we have had it happen.
Startling.
And one of the first things we say if we get a call like that is, are you hurt? And that's one of the things we need to talk about, because today we're going to talk about 7 delayed injury symptoms after a car crash. These are delayed symptoms that you might get, and there's probably a lot more than 7, but we're going to focus on 7. But what I want you to remember is what I say many, many times over. You're probably hating me that I say it so much, and I'm sorry. But for most of you out there, for most all of us out there, the most dangerous thing you do every day is drive your vehicle or ride in a vehicle. That's what happens. You're on the streets. You're subject to whatever carelessness or negligence or acts somebody else may do. That person who decides they're going to text while they drive or watch a movie while they drive or do whatever else they're doing while they drive, that person, you can't control them. All you do is you can just wait to see if you're the victim that they end up hitting. And if you're doing that, please stop. but also understand that you are subjecting people to that. You're subjecting yourself to rookie drivers.
Distracted drivers, whether it be phone calls, radios, what happened to them the night before, a hot beverage in the car that spilled, let their kids throw it in the back seat, any of those things.
Talking on the phone, and even if it's a hands-free phone. Look, when you're paying attention to the conversation, especially if it's an emotional one, oh my gosh, that's terrible. But if you're paying attention to the conversation, then what are you doing? You're doing something other than keeping your attention on the road. So you're headed for a crash. You're headed, or somebody's headed for a crash. These are the dangerous things. People who don't care, people who are intoxicated, they're all out there on the road. You're talking about vehicles that are being driven. The vehicles weigh thousands and thousands and thousands of pounds, folks. You're alone in that car. We've got airbags that we want to explode into your face and into the side of your head and into your chest.
Seat belts that immediately constrict as soon as there's a rear impact.
That's right. Seat belts that are going to grab you. Of course, you're still going to have this force, so you hope they grab you somewhat before you get in motion. Otherwise, you're going to get hurt there. We'll be talking about that. But this is the most dangerous thing you're going to do. Now, I'm not, and I don't mean to slight some of you who are getting up and saying, yeah, well, you ought to know what my job is, and you'll see I do things much more dangerous. I understand that. But the single most dangerous thing most people do is drive in a car. And the most dangerous thing your children are doing, in a car. The most dangerous thing your spouse may be doing is in a car. The most dangerous thing your parents may be doing, in a car. So, you know, we want you to understand somewhat a legal game plan in advance. The only way you're going to get a real accurate, truthful legal game plan is you got to contact us, Bell and Pollock. We're going to sit down with you and we're going to give you a legal game plan. It's going to change. Why would it change, Dana?
It would change because every single car crash is unique. Every single body in those car crashes is unique. And no individual body responds to a car crash in the same way as another body. We all have pre-existing conditions that we bring to the situations that could make us either more susceptible to injury or potentially, you know, re-injure us where we had a pre-existing condition. And we're all different shapes, sizes, heights, body makeups, all that kind of stuff that changes how all of those individual forces impact our body in a crash.
Right. And then you ask, oh, what's my case worth? There used to be some advertising on that, and said some attorneys still advertise on that. Well, let me tell you something. To begin with, I've talked about this many times. You see law firms that talk about how much they collect. We've collected millions and millions and hundreds of millions, and they talk about the cases. They usually have a disclaimer somewhere in there. You never see it because you don't really pay attention to that. You pay attention to the people who are talking to you, which is great. There's nothing wrong with that.
Individual results may vary, right?
That's right. Individual results may vary. Or past success is not an indicator of future results. And what they're telling you is what we're telling you. You cannot determine what your case is worth until you have a lot more facts than you're going to get at that crash. One of them is going to be, how much coverage is there?
Right.
You know, what are the chances that you're going to have somebody hit you that's got $1.3 million for you to recover?
Or that your injuries are worth the value of $1.3 million.
That's right. Now, if your injury is worth $1.3 million and you want to recover $1.3 million, what I can tell you is you need to get some underinsured and uninsured motorist coverage, because how many people how many people do you really think are out there driving around with insurance of $1 million of coverage?
Well, the problem is, Brad, that, you know, people want to do the absolute minimum that they're required to do. Colorado requires drivers to be insured at a minimum of $25,000 for liability purposes. That's hurting somebody else. So it's not what you're covered then for yourself if an uninsured driver hits you. So they're not thinking about that. Most people out there are not thinking about that before a crash happens or even once a crash happens. So
now I think if I remember right, The statistics I remember, most recent ones, indicated that about 26% of the people on Colorado roads either have no insurance or the minimum insurance. And, you know, if that's all you can afford is a minimum insurance, God bless you. Go for it. Get it. If you can get more, get it. But what I'm trying to say is you got a 1 in 4 chance that the person's involved in the crash are actually people who don't have much more than $25,000 of coverage, or they have no coverage. So the only way you do this is protect yourself. And I'm going to tell you, I've said this many times. You hear it until you know, you're probably blue in the face hearing it. But Dana and I don't sell insurance. We get nothing. We get no commissions. We get no kickbacks for you going out and buying insurance. But we sure need you to make sure that you're protected, to consider what you can afford. And if you got to give up your Starbucks coffee, give it up and get yourself properly protected.
It pays for itself over and over and over again, whether it's increasing your med pay or whether it's increasing your UIM coverage, or both if you can afford it.
So we're talking about a crash. You've been hit. You've been in a crash, and we're gonna be going to a break pretty quick. But first of all, we're gonna at least get into this idea that there are seven major or basic delayed injury symptoms that you can have after a crash. There's actually more. There's quite a few more, but we're gonna talk about seven of them today that you want to talk about, that you either don't recognize happened to you. Because you're so busy worrying about the crash, you're worrying about get your car off the road, you're worrying about the fact your car doesn't drive anymore, you're worrying about what happened to it, you're worrying about all this glass on the street, you're worrying about what the other person is saying, are the police coming, are they not coming, are there witnesses, are you having to be pulled out of the car, or if you get pulled out of the car, what do you want to do about that and the situation you want to face? You're obviously probably calling a loved one saying, I was in a crash. Most people in a car, when they're driving it, they're going somewhere, and so they're kind of expected to be somewhere. So you're calling the person that you're going to or the place you're going to saying, I've been hurt or I can't do it, or you're asking somebody else to give them a call. You're trying to do some of the basic things that you need to do in a crash. You're listening to the Bell and Polk Legal Show. Dana Miller and Brad Polk in studio today. We're going to be right back, and we're going to talk to you about the seven delayed injury symptoms after a crash. We'll be right back.
Mandy Connell here with the Legal Minute from my friends at Bell and Pollock. Listen for more great advice on the Bell and Pollock Injury Show Saturdays at 10 on KOA.
Hi, I'm Gary Bell of the law firm of Bell and Pollock. We are injury attorneys, and this is your Legal Minute. Ever heard of a hit and run? They happen in Denver and everywhere all day long, every day. I read about them all the time. If you're involved in a hit and run, what do? First, you seek medical care, medical attention. However, most importantly, if you can document the scene, the debris on the roadway, and always, always call the police. Always call your insurance company and report it right away. A hit and run is a UM, uninsured motorist event. You can recover, but you have to prove it to the insurance company. You say, well, I was a victim of a hit and run. No, I don't really. Yes, you do. We will help you. Bell and Pollock, Gary Bell, Brad Pollock. Call us anytime. Go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. We'll help you.
Get more information or help from Bell and Pollock at championsofthepeople.com.
We're back with Champions of the People, the Bell and Pollock Injury Show. For over three decades, the personal injury attorneys at Bell and Pollock have provided compassionate, personalized legal service. Put their experience to work for you. Go to championsofthepeople.com or call 303-795-5900.
Welcome back to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Brad Pollock and Dana Miller in studio today. We're talking to you about what happens in a car crash and some of the injuries you can expect or you can deal with and what you're going to be looking at. We're going to talk about, first of all, some of what we call the seven delayed injury symptoms after a car crash. I want to make sure everybody understands, Dana, you can throw in your two cents on this, the difference between an injury and a symptoms, or the difference between a condition and symptoms. You can have a condition that shows no symptoms. Sure. All of a sudden, the crash shows some symptoms.
So, for example, a lot of one's injuries from a car crash have to do with one's neck and spine. And you can be going about your merry little way, doing all the things you do, being a grandparent, hanging out with your grandkids, and not experience a single issue in your neck or spine. But if you're involved in a traumatic event like a car crash, a rear end collision, a T-bone collision, a front impact collision where somebody pulls out in front of you, you know, all of a sudden you have an acute injury, okay, that then brings to the surface all sorts of problems that you may have had as pre-existing or degenerative in your neck and spine that were completely undiagnosed and asymptomatic before that.
And that's an important part of any kind of anytime you're analyzing your case. You're listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. You can contact us at 303-795-5900. You can get on our interactive website that actually you can listen to this shows, you can listen to previous shows, you can listen to shows we've done other places. There's literally hundreds of them. And you can get on the website, you can listen to them. It's at bellpollock.com or championsofthepeople.com. If you've been hurt as a result of the mistake of another, the negligence of another, someone who has not acted within what we call the, quote, standard of care, and they haven't acted as they should, as we expect people to act, if they've done something that has caused your injuries, you're entitled to compensation. You're entitled to recover enough money and the sufficient amount of money to make you whole. We hope that much money is available, but you're entitled to be made whole. So that's one of the things we get concerned about, is making sure it's there. But you can contact us at 303-795-5900, bellpollock.com, or championsofthepeople.com. We'll give to you a legal game plan, and we'll develop it as we go along with you. Like every lawyer tells you in this business, and I say every week, it's free. The consultation is free. What the lawyer wants to do and what they're looking for is to learn about you, get involved with you, and get your case. They want to represent you. That's what personal injury lawyers do. And they should. That's the right thing. Well, personal injury lawyers should be saying, we'll talk to you free and see if you got a case. And then they should ask for your business. Can we represent you? Now, I get a little upset when it's not a lawyer you get to meet with and it ends up being an investigator or a paralegal or a case manager or a case processor or whatever they call, I get a little upset with that because you should be able to talk to a lawyer.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of the very fundamental rights of a person who's involved in a crash.
And that's why we're here. So when we start talking about it, we talk about symptoms that occur. I can promise you that just about any of you who are at least 30 years old, and actually younger than that, that you have degeneration in your spinal cord. That's what happens. We are born, we develop, we get to a part where all of a sudden things start wearing out. And I hate to tell you 30 and 40 year olds that you're wearing out a little bit, but you are, you know.
Well, gravity, you know? I mean, it's a universal force.
And your bones are, the ligaments are, everything's rubbing against each other. Everything's working in that body, and there's some degeneration. But you haven't had any pain. You haven't had a symptom. And symptoms are what we get concerned about because they've been able to document that people have lived their entire life degenerating all the way through to their 80s, and they've had no symptoms. They have no pain. You have the right to live that way. And if a crash changes it, if a slip and fall changes it because of the negligence of somebody, if some other injury happens because of negligence, and you are now dealing with symptoms that are debilitating, they keep you from doing things. They make your life miserable even if you are doing things, or even less convenient because you're doing things, you should be looking into recovery. So we start talking about the seven delayed injury symptoms we want to talk about after a car crash. And the first one I think we want to talk about is headaches.
Absolutely. I mean, you think about what happens. You mentioned earlier airbags deploying. What about contacting your head with the side of the door or the window in a side impact crash? What about a really forceful impact crash from the rear where your head a person's head might strike the steering wheel or, God forbid, the front windshield? But even the just forcefulness of the momentum of one's head motion when they are hit from behind, the head first goes backwards. I think a lot of people don't realize that the head goes backwards first in a whiplash injury. And that momentum can cause sometimes an instantaneous headache, but often, more often than not, it's a delayed response headache.
That's exactly right. It's a delayed headache. And what happens is, even if you think there's a headache, even if you get knocked unconscious, and it, you know, for a few seconds, you're just knocked silly, you're not certain. All of a sudden, later on that night or the next morning, you recognize, my head hurts, I got a headache. You've been so, even when you wake up from being unconscious, you're so excited about everything else.
Well, that's the adrenaline coursing through your system.
That's right.
The body's natural response to any kind of trauma or injury like that.
And it's trying to put to keep you from being harmed or from being in pain, allow you to function. And you're trying to function. You've got your concentration on something else. Now, if you happen to be unfortunate enough to have another injury, like you've got a broken arm or a broken leg or something, that you're sitting there seeing it, and you don't realize you've got a headache, of course you don't realize you got a headache. And that's called a distracting injury. You've got a different injury that keeps you from thinking about all of them.
Right. And it could be something that just comes on later after all of that adrenaline courses through your system. Your body starts to calm down and relax and return to a stasis. And all of a sudden, you just have this dull, throbbing headache.
And it's there. And it doesn't go away. And all of a sudden, you start realizing, wait a minute, I'm having trouble with noises. I don't like them. The noises are too loud or they bother me more.
The lights are too bright. I've got brain fogginess or memory recall issues. Somebody gives you a list of things to pick up at the grocery store and you can't remember five of them.
And what happens here is more than likely these headaches are not the result of the fact that you were out too late the night before. You know, they come on 3 or 4 days after the accident, and you get, well, I went to somebody's birthday party and it was kind of loud and I got a headache from that. Or maybe my pillow's not right, or I didn't sleep well because I was stretching my neck, or I sat up and I fell asleep in my chair while I was watching TV and that caused it. No, your headache's probably from that crash you were involved in a week earlier, and it just now is coming on. You got to get care for it. You got to address it. Think about whether that headache comes from the injury. Now, we've talked about some serious, you know, it can just be a headache that you're going to have to deal with. Unfortunately, you might deal with it for a long, long time. And sometimes it can be for a lifetime. Or you can have more serious problems. Maybe there's a blood clot. Maybe there's you suffered a more serious loss of consciousness or concussion than you thought you did.
Some of the things that I hear from potential clients and clients whose cases we've taken on is that they frequently think right after a collision that, you know, the damage to the vehicles isn't that severe, and you know, they're reacting from a position of adrenaline and, you know, kind of that spontaneous need to deal with the circumstances at hand, worrying, like you said, about all the phone calls they have to make and plans they have to change and whatnot. And they frequently have reported that even though ambulance or fire showed up on scene to provide emergency medical response, that they sent them away, that they said at the time that they were fine. And what I've found that I've always cautioned people later on, even though it's you know, retroactive advice, is to not do that. It's really important that in that time you take that moment to be assessed, to get checked out. Because like you said, if it's a more significant injury like a blood clot, you may not even know. You may not know the symptoms that a blood clot would manifest. And if you've already sent that ambulance away, you get back in your car with, you know, low physical damage to the vehicle, you were the soft body in the car at the time. And if you've sent that ambulance away and you proceed off down the road with a blood clot, all sorts of terrible things could happen.
You're listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. We need to talk to you if you've been in a crash. It's free. It's not going to harm you. There's no big problem. Sometimes you can come in and meet with us if you'd like. You can also talk to us by Zoom or virtual if you'd like. We'll get you on a TV. We'll set up the right time to be able to do it. Or we can just talk to you on the phone. It doesn't hurt for you to talk to us. And the, one of the things we talk about with headaches is, you know, if you're sitting there watching the CU football game or the Broncos playing, and you see two players smash into each other with their helmets by head on head, which, by the way, is probably illegal now, but they're still going through the line and sometimes they're hitting that way. You're looking at, you know, you're going, boy, they're going to have a bad headache in the morning, or they're going to have a bad headache tomorrow. Guess what? If you were in a crash and you had certain things happen to you, and it doesn't take physical force, it can be take just being having your head violently thrust backwards and forwards. Your brain is smaller than your skull. And, you know, sometime we'll get into shaken baby syndrome if we need to and have you understand that when your brain is smashing against your skull as a result of violent movement, you're now looking at a potential injury to your head, and you're looking at what's going to be, guess what, you're going to have in the morning. Or maybe in 2 mornings, or in 3 mornings, or in 4 mornings. You're going to have a headache.
Absolutely. I don't know that we need to get into shaking babies, though, Brad, because I like to give the demonstrative of, imagine your brain is made of Jell-O, and the Jell-O is in a very bumpy porcelain cup.
And we're going to talk about that right after the break, what happens. You listen to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Give us a call if you need to, 303-795-5900. We'll be right back.